Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk, hashtag with Bev. Can you believe that it's August? I can't believe it's August already. August 2020, on the eve of lockdown. Well, welcome, and I'm a black mother of West Indian descent with two children, 19 and 17, and we're based in London, UK. As you know, I normally say I'm not an expert, just sharing my thoughts, opinions and experiences around parenting in the hope that it helps another parent or someone somewhere. So, you know, the hashtag, parent talk hashtag, means that we talk about anything really. And today, hashtag is a space for a local mum to talk about her experience of living in her community, raising her family and her passion. So without further ado, let's welcome my guest to the podcast, Parent Talk, hashtag. So yes, I said I was going to introduce my guest to us, which I'm going to do, but where, introduce yourself, just your name for the minute. And let me...
Okay, it's Michelle Killington.
You don't have to go down the Killington route, you know, but still... You don't have to put everything out there.
It's Michelle then. Sorry.
Don't worry, darling. I don't want you to worry about anything you've got to say. Yeah. I've had to move to my kitchen because one daughter's upstairs blaring her music, and another one's in the living room, and the cat is at the door. So if we get interrupted,
that's fine.
That's just like my life at the moment. But anyway,
it's natural, isn't it? It's more natural that way.
It's the way it is, mate. So, you know, we're going to talk to you about your passion, your family, and what you're currently doing. So, Michelle,
perfect. Yes, darling.
Go ahead and introduce yourself to the guests.
Okay, I'm Michelle, and I live at Angel Town, Fairfax House, and I've been there for 26 years.
26 years.
Yes, that's right. Actually, when I first moved to Angel Town, I lived on Ireton House, which is actually opposite the community centre that I'm hoping to one day have for the community. So now I've been living in Fairfax probably for about 17 years, to be fair. Yeah, 17 years.
But that's a chunk of time.
It is, definitely.
So
yeah.
What was it like when you, in the early days, when you moved in or you moved on to that?
When I moved in, to be honest with you, I didn't like it as much as I like it now. They had a regeneration, and the regeneration, you know, when they regenerate an area and then the houses look really posh and pretty, that's what happened. A lot of people moved away and didn't want to come back.
Right.
And there was a time when Angel Town, I'm sure you may be aware of this, it was notoriously known for being a hot spot for crime. And we have the walkways, like the walkways across ahead of you, So basically it was quite dangerous because it was like rat runs where when the police were trying to find you, they couldn't because you'd run upstairs into the rat run. So when I first moved to Angel Town, I kind of kept myself to myself for a while because I was trying to, you know, when you're trying to just suss out people and who's who, you know, and who you can talk to. And then I then got involved with this, well, I decided to start a self-build group. There's a lady called Dora Baltimore, rest her soul. She's now passed over quite a few years ago. She actually got an OBE for her work in the community, a Ghanaian lady. And she was running a project called Angel Town Community Project. So she was very important. She was like my idol, like somebody who I looked up to because she stood up for the people.
Yeah.
And she didn't let the housing. So, because on Angel Town, it's a very strange mixture of tenure. So there's five different resident social landlords, which is like housing associations.
Right.
And then there's Lambeth.
Oh, right.
So it's a very strange mix.
So there's different rules for different people who live in the same
Yeah,
same
so
space.
That does actually bring division. Because you don't know who's who, and you don't know who knows what. So I decided to do a self-build scheme, which was to get the residents to be able to get training to build their own homes, along with the contractors, so they could have employment skills, basically. And I started that. And the deal was with Presentation Housing and with Lambeth, who were also involved, that once the buildings were built, we could then get a discount off a mortgage.
Right.
6 years later, they changed their mind and said, rather than giving you a discount, we'll give you white goods for your time instead. We'll give you a fridge. We'll give you a cooker.
What?
Exactly.
After 6 years of helping them design it?
Training. Because I was actually the founder and I was also the secretary. So I used to organise trips for the group of residents to go to different self-build sites to understand what self-building is all about.
Because
self-building is like when you build your own home, you have a different love for your home because you've actually built it with your own hands and sweat and tears. So you put more into it. And it's a beautiful thing because we used to go to these sites and help out self-builders who are still currently building their homes and also help them to complete it, to finish it. And it was a beautiful feeling, and I was really happy that I was involved in such an amazing project. And when Presentation decided to pull the rug under our feet, I was very hurt because at that time my daughter was 7 years old or 6 years old.
Right.
When they said, so she was a baby from when it started. She was a baby crawling around in this meeting room. You know when you have meetings in the evening like once a week and you're tired after work and you're got those funny sandwiches and dodgy sandwiches and the crisps. Oh, Lord.
Yes, yeah. I know about the dodgy sandwiches and the Tupperware and the... I know.
So it really was really upsetting to me, but I thought, you know what? All the hard work we've done, I'm not going to let this knowledge go. So I said, look, why don't we recruit onto the Lambeth Housing waiting list to see if families who are on the list would like to take part in this scheme and get the training to be able to have their own home, a bigger size home. So Lambeth said, yeah, go for it. So we basically went door to door all around, Harris House, like St. James Crescent, all the blocks around Angeltown and including Angeltown. We just leafleted everywhere and said, would you like to be on this scheme? So we was lucky enough to get 10 families who actually did it. And now the houses are still there, the tenants are still there. I went on to buy my property that I'm now in currently, thank the Lord. And it was a learning process for me working alongside Presentation Housing and Lambeth. And it made me realise that the skills that I'd learned, I was then embedded in the community because I'd done so much with that scheme.
So that was like your big, like when people try to get to know neighbours, they go around and borrow sugar or something from somebody, but you basically threw yourself into the community.
I did. And I mean, like basically the other day I saw a lady who's now living in one of the properties who was on the scheme. And every time I see her, she's so thankful and she has so much nice things to say. And it makes me feel... It's very rewarding when someone says, "Oh, thank you, Michelle. You know, you've done a really good job." And but it gave me a sense of, yeah, this is my community. I was embedded into it after that. You know, then I began to do other projects that's not relatable to Angeltown per se, but just around the community.
But your daughter, because you know, you said she was seven, so she's seen you. I mean, you must have been like a busy mum.
I was very busy, but I like being busy. That's just me. I think for me, I like just being busy. I've always have. I think if I had too much time not to be busy, that's when I start thinking of foolish thoughts and things. When I'm busy doing something that's productive and positive, it makes me feel very good, you know. But my daughter, she did miss out a lot. I think a lot of young kids miss out a lot when they're young. Years back, because we had to work so hard. On Angeltown, she spent many of her, when she was much younger, she'd have friends come over and play. But as she reached teenager years, I got a bit worried about her safety and being out on Angeltown. But because there was nowhere really safe for her to go, I kind of overly protected her from a lot. And I wish I didn't do that. But I had no choice because Angeltown at that time wasn't this, it wasn't smart for me just to let her just go off and do her own thing, as far as I was concerned, you know.
But there's a lot of mothers who would say that no matter where their kids live, you know, they're still going to keep an eye on them and the people that they associate with. Do you understand what I mean? I mean, it's not nothing unusual that you've done just because you were living where you were living. I think it's something that, and especially for me anyway, I mean, I live on what they call like a lovely road. Yeah, I don't live on an estate. I used to before I had children. And I was very clear that if I was going to have children, I wanted to move away from an estate. Because I used to run around in an estate, and I know what I used to. Aylesbury Estate, you know, the Aylesbury Estate.
Cool.
That was my playground.
Right.
You know, so when you're talking about, you know, the runs, the run, the long, the places
the
that you
runs.
Could, the rat runs, and the places you could hide, we knew that we knew where we could run and hide and do all kind of madness on that estate, and it was huge.
I know.
And they've done exactly the same thing. They've cut it down into little blocks, taken away the big space and replaced it with what looks like really fancy and beautiful accommodation, which is smaller than what we used to have before. There is lack of community. There's no runways where you can walk and talk for the whole length of like Albany Road. Because that's what we used to do. From Albany Road to Old Kent Road, you used to be able to walk on that estate.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
And so you could walk along and meet and greet Hollyper people, as well as there were people you didn't know, but there was a big sense of community for especially young people, because we were running wild, and we knew everybody.
Yeah, I must admit, on Angel Town years ago there was a laundrette, and it was run by a lady who's well known on the estate. But that was our community space, going to the laundrette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd go in there and sit down and talk with her.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's all gone now. But yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you, you know what I mean? But
no, it's fine.
The reality is, you know, you felt that you had to move your daughter inwards because of the fact she's a young woman. And what you know, what was going on around on the estate.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I know with my girls, whether they lived on that community or not. I live on in a masonette in a house, which I've got the top floor and middle floor, right? And they live in a house as far as people are concerned, right?
But, you know, if I had,
but the reality is, boys and men don't care where you come from. They're watching you on your children on street. You understand?
Yeah.
Not just men, but people watching them on street. So it doesn't matter where they live, they're still going to try and approach. So you're right.
But it's a shame. It's unfortunate that she, I mean, luckily Max Roach Park wasn't that far away, but Max Roach is nice. I don't know if you know Max Roach. It's quite close to the church.
Yeah.
It's a nice space, but when your child's a teenager and they're a girl, there's no need for them to really be there because they've got snooker tables in there. They used to have snooker tables, and that's not really, PlayStations. That's not really what girls want to be doing.
Mm.
And at the moment now, it's not really used a lot by the community of Angel Town. It's only for young kids from 0 to 5.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I know. I used to run one of those adventure playgrounds, we used to call them.
Oh, right. Yes,
so,
that's right.
You know, we had table tennis, snooker, or pool, or whatever they called it. And we did lots of arts and craft and things like that, evening activities to try and get girls in. But it was a space that boys kind of, you know, took over, you know, because
I think back in the day there was like brownies and girl guides where my daughter was going to, and she loved it, but there comes a point in their time when they're teenagers where they have a say. Oh mom, I don't want to go there no more. I'm grown now, why am I still going to girl guides? And then all the funding stopped, didn't it? All the cuts happened.
Yeah, as they
always
do. And
all those things turned down. All them things went. And I actually loved her going to girl guides, because for me, it was like, you know, they had morals and principles, which I agreed to and agreed with. You know, and it was good.
But the thing, you have to, I was a girl guider. I mean, this is years ago, man, years. And I think what kind of happened is when I had my children, because, you know, they're 19 and 17, but when they were growing, it was almost like, if you wanted anything, you had to pay extra for it. It wasn't stuff that was just available for the community, or, you know, you could give, what's the word, like subs, but the subs were small in comparison to now. I think my daughter, my youngest one, she did gymnastics, and just for the gymnastic thing that she's jumping up and down in was 40 quid. That wasn't even paying for the term. That wasn't traveling back and forward. That wasn't her going into competition. It was money.
The uniform, yeah, wasn't it?
Exactly. It was money. Still is. But anyway, so you felt that your daughter, you know, she changed. She, there were certain things you didn't want her to do. There weren't things that were attractive for her. So how old is she now?
She's 22 now.
Oh my gosh, she's big people.
Yeah, she is, yeah. My love of my life.
So you've seen the estate or the community where you live, where you threw yourself into it and became really a part of it, and you've still got aspects of that memory where your daughter's grown up, right? So you've seen where you've had promises and you've invested in those promises, and then those promises have changed. Yes. But has that stopped you from still feeling passionate about where you live?
I think I feel more passionate about it now. As I get older, I realise that these young people, this is going to be theirs, and I'm going to be gone, you know, at one point. I'll be gone, I'll be passed over, and they'll be there. It'll be them where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want them to have a more brighter future where they have more opportunities where they live, rather than having to, you know, Angel Town's a place where some young people don't really travel out.
Mm.
They just stay within. And if they're going to stay within, it might as well be a beautiful place to stay within.
Mm.
And it just worries me that they're not really, there isn't much on Angel Town for them. I mean, having a football pitch, which is not maintained very well, which has security issues, which is used day in, day out, you know, and it's the only place they have. It worries me because not every boy wants to be a footballer.
Yeah.
You know, true. And not every girl wants to be that girlfriend watching her man playing football either.
Sorry, I'm just laughing because the other day when I went to the office, when I went to where I work, which is just opposite the one of the pitches, the big pitch where they look. And it was interesting to see the boys or the men in there, you know, running around topless doing what they were doing. And the girls were being sent out to go and get stuff from Tesco's. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. Undermanaged. But, you know, but it's like, I just would like our young people to have, to be proud of where they live. I mean, I know for a fact when I mentioned to people who, I used to work in architecture in the city, and like in Clerkenwell and Farringdon, and I'd say, where do you live? Oh, Angel Town. Angel Town Estate. Oh my God, you live on Angel Town. Oh my God. And eyebrows would be raised, you know, and then I know they've got preconceptions of what Angel Town is and who lives there.
Mm-hmm.
They've already stereotyped type of people from Angel Town, and that's not fair. You shouldn't paint everybody with the same brush, and that's what people do. And there are some things about Angel Town, there's so much talent, there is so much talented young people with, like, in terms of music, like musicians on Angel Town, there are so many, and all they need is the opportunities and mentoring and nurturing. It's all they need to even if they don't want to become a singer, but they want to then go off to become an event manager like myself and organise events and make money that way, they should be able to have that. And obviously they can't be given everything on a plate, but if we're still as a people arguing about our little piece of earth as a community space needing to be maintained in this day and age, and it's not being done, or our steps are broken for donkeys, and it's not being done. It's like, sometimes Angel Town, it feels like there's this thing called broken window. But on a estate, if you have one broken window, you should fix it straight away, because if you don't, there's a possibility that more windows will get broken because the area is not maintained and cared for, you know? And yeah, I'm just sick and tired of Angel Town just being in the press for the wrong reason all the time and not highlighting the amazing young men and women that we have there.
Well, if you don't know an area and you're not prepared to take a risk to get to know, all right, then you're going to be just left believing. Or if circumstances present themselves for you to be able to get a different view or perspective and you don't take it, then you kind of want to stay in that space of stereotype and ignorance. I don't know. That's just what I'm thinking at the moment.
I think what it is, to me, it feels like because of the Black Lives Matter movement, all of a sudden, everybody's, in terms of Lambeth and the government, have opened their eyes to Angel Town because of the little event that took place a few weeks ago, the illegal party. The alleged illegal party. So what's happened now is, you know, the MPs are involved, Lambeth are, you know, giving us special attention. But it shouldn't take many, many people to die before we're noticed. It shouldn't take that. And it's not like the residents of Angel Town have been crying out for help just yesterday. We haven't. It's been years and years and years.
Well, you say you've been living on the estate for like 23 years.
Right? Yeah, 26 years.
And, you know, you've seen a lot of changes and you've seen people come in like the MPs are at the moment and making lots of promises. And you've seen where some things have worked out to the good and some things haven't, I'm assuming. Yes, because you've said, you know, certain things, 7-year program, and at the end they change it around and basically say have white goods rather than the property, which the property is what you were working towards and building towards.
Yes.
So it's like a slap in the face to turn around and suddenly say, actually, you know what, thanks for all your hard work.
Yeah.
And for your ideas, but we're going to take those and build these houses and sell them to other people because you obviously can't afford it.
Well, no, that didn't happen. They actually we actually recruited on the Lambeth housing list. So families on the housing list were able to move into those homes and help the contractors to build them.
Oh, okay.
So they actually got experience. So that was an amazing thing that happened. But trust me, because they had pulled the wool over our eyes, there was no way. I'm the type of person, I learned so much from Dora, that when you know you're right about something, you must not let your principles down and you must speak about it.
Okay.
And the fact that I've spent 6 years of my life and the other residents also spent so many years doing that scheme, Presentation House in Lambeth couldn't not then give us, we had to get a win some way. And the win was getting people from Lambeth housing waiting list to live in those houses
and also get
the training, which is amazing, you know.
All right.
So that was good. But I just feel like, you know, there's a few MPs, there's a lady called Helen Hayes, who you may have heard of. She's been very helpful in terms of getting Lambeth's eyes and ears on Angel Town issues. And I have to thank her for her time. But that's her job as well, because she's still our MP. And obviously she's going to get votes if she does a good job. But I just feel that Angel Town, they kind of gave money, a lot of money, into building new homes and then decanting a lot of people away to make it probably a safer place to live. Fine. But what about the people? It's okay making beautiful homes, but the existing people who live in those homes need to still be listened to.
Yeah.
You know, and there was I don't know when we're going to discuss it, but the fact that we had a space, a really huge space called the Boiler House, which actually housed all the boilers. It was a central boiler system for the whole estate. We had been promised that, the residents. I was also on the EMB, which is the Estate Management Board, and we had been discussing that. What would happen is the boiler house, what used to be a community centre, would be turned into a community centre again, and there would be housing put above it.
Yeah.
And I always thought to myself, but hold on, if people don't really appreciate Angel Town young people and they think they're antisociable, why would you put housing above a community centre? Wouldn't the new people above complain about antisocial behaviour?
Right.
So for me, it never ever sat well, that idea, that design. And because I'm not an architect, but I worked in 6 practices over 18 years. I know that you can't really put young people, teenagers, playing, socialising underneath residents above. Right. Just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was, for years and years and years, it was promised this is going to be your space. What happened was basically is that throughout the COVID period, Lambeth decided to do a consultation.
How can you do exercise. A consultation when everyone's locked down?
Exactly. And then, I was able to buy my property. I moved away for a few years, went to a nice place in Waterloo, all beautiful, all sunny. Everyone lived good amongst each other, because obviously it's a tourist place. When I came back to Angeltown and I realised what was going on, I was like, what on earth is going on? Why are we losing? Well, okay, I'll go back. So I'm kind of losing the plot here a little bit. So basically, this space, they said that rather than make it, because of the consultation done throughout COVID, it's either going to be a community centre or a garden. And it looks as if the most people wouldn't mind a garden, so we're going to put a garden there instead. But me speaking to neighbours, I realised that they all wanted a community centre. A lot of them had issues getting onto the consultation, yeah. which was done by Zoom. And basically, my argument with Lambeth is a lot of people don't have Wi-Fi access.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't have computers. A lot of people's first language is not English.
Mm-hmm.
So what you've done is you've just discriminated probably about 14% of Angeltown, and that was my argument. That's all, you know, that was my main argument.
Mm.
And by liaising with my friends and by liaising with the residents around me, they were so upset, because even people who are quite well known in Angeltown, Lorraine Jones, she's the founder of Dwaynamics, which is a boxing club which I used to work at.
Mm-hmm.
She lives literally 2 minutes from the site. She didn't know about it. How could she not know? You know, she's a pivotal part of Angeltown. And that's when I realised that there's an issue here, you know. And I think Lambeth, when they're taking a vulnerable time and trying to do something at a vulnerable time, when that land is a massive asset to the community.
Mm.
So I wasn't going to let it rest. And luckily, we formed a residents' WhatsApp group,
mm-hmm.
which I was part of. And we had a few Zoom meetings about it. And we were saying, it's not fair. You know, Lambeth cannot do this. So luckily, Helen Hayes has been amazing. She's managed to get, I mean, she, the other day with myself, Lorraine, a few other residents, people, a person from Lambeth, Homes for Lambeth, who are actually going to, who wanted to put the planning application in, and councillors were there, and it was such a powerful meeting. But I was just thinking, it's a shame we shouldn't even be having this meeting.
So why do you think it was a powerful meeting?
Because it was just like, you know, when you're upset about something and you keep banging on about it and doing emails and phone calls, and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden you have all the figureheads who are important paying attention just mm. for a few minutes.
Mm.
And, you know, what was accomplished is Lambeth are going to put the planning application on hold, because they wanted to basically put 17 new homes also on a very small car park site on Fairfax. And then rather than giving us our community centre, make a garden for us. Now, the problem is the site with the 17 new homes is so small, so they were going to build up, which would mean that the flats would look completely different from everything else around. It wouldn't right. actually fit in.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, Angeltown has a lot of greenery around it already, and it's not even maintained. All of the equipment, the play equipment, doesn't work. Nothing works.
Right.
So why give us more green? Why not give us a community centre? I mean, we have areas. I mean, I was talking to my neighbour yesterday, and he was really... If you listen to this, you might tell me off. It was really chewing my ear off about the fact that one of the gardens next to his house, dogs just go in there and foul it up, so that the children can't play in it. So it's a dead space.
Right.
And my argument is to Helen, listen, I appreciate you bringing the MPs around and the councillors and Lambeth. Amazing. But you need to have us sit in with you when you make decisions about us.
Yeah.
Have us sit in at that table. When they come to Angel Town and do their walkabout, have one of us highlight what needs to be done, because we live here. So the best person who would know is us.
Well, that's the that's the whole thing at the moment, where some of the things that I'm involved in. It's the biggest thing is, if you're not at the table, this is what I feel, and this is what one of the things I'd been working with. But if you're not at the table, then you're the dinner. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm nobody's dinner. So, you know, if you're going to be making decisions about stuff, I need to be present, or my voice or my physical being needs to be present, so that I can hear and I can voice. Yes, and some of us need to learn how to do that in a particular way. But sometimes, you know, the rawness is because of the frustration. It's passion. And it's the frustration that you're not listening.
Exactly. And you know what really hurts, when they keep saying, well, we need to have young people at these meetings. Well, then why don't you try to do things that will suit them? Young people of 20 are not going to want to feel comfortable to come to a Zoom meeting with MPs, people that they're not used to being around. If you give them the right funding to get capacity building training, to learn how to debate, to learn how to research something, and master how to have non-violent communication even, you know. But you can't just expect youths to know how to conduct themselves. It's taken me so many years to learn it. And that's only because I was lucky enough and I worked hard enough to work in architecture for 18 years. So I was in that type of mix, you know. But now I've learned sometimes you have to just be humble when they're talking their rubbish, right? Mm-hmm. And wait your turn and then say something.
Well, you know? I found that sometimes you can sit in a space and I can hear these people chatting, and they're using all these convoluted words. And it doesn't mean that I'm not educated, but sometimes I just like things to be simple so I understand it. And I sit and I listen. And then when I get the opportunity, or I put my hand up and I ask a question, the question really is, so just to clarify, you're saying that you want to talk to young people, but we've got evidence that you've spoken to young people and then you've ignored what they've said and done exactly what you wanted to do, number one, right? Number two, you say you want young people, but young people don't hold the memory of the things that was done in the past. So they're not going to learn, they haven't learned the lessons, or that they haven't got that shared experience. So you need intergenerational people at the table, because there are those like yourself who've experienced things from 26 years ago. And then you've got the young people who will have the ideas, but they need that kind of support around saying, well, actually, that's a really good idea. That was done in 1918 or not 1982. You understand what I mean? And the response was this. So, counsellor, taking on board what this young person says and understanding that we've got a long memory, how are you going to do this different? You understand?
Yeah, I agree, totally. I mean, I'm now a mentor. I'm lucky enough to work. I'm now a mentor for a young musician who's 21. And he's from Peckham. And he's a classically trained pianist. Mm. And I'm bringing him with me to committee meetings where he can have his say. And he's working with me at Mitesville Park, where he's now on the events and engagement committee.
Right.
And they all keep saying, oh, it's amazing to have a young person. It's amazing. But yeah, make sure that when he has an idea, you don't just go round it, because he's value. He's very, very valuable.
Yeah.
So make sure you give him his time to talk. And the thing is, with young people in Angel Town, if we're already frustrated as adults, can you imagine how frustrated they are? So when they're going to say something, you best listen to them and give them the time and space.
Well, I think you know, the reality is, and I'm really sorry, listeners, we've just gone in and just been having our own conversation, and you've just been, you know, chilling, listening, or moving around the house while you do your thing, listening to us having a discussion. And, you know, what we're talking about, I'm talking to Michelle. She's a mum who's been really involved in her community. And the community where she's living at the moment is Angel Town, which is in Lambeth. And so we're just talking about, you know, her passions and what she things she's learnt from being involved in her community, as well as, you know, bringing her daughter up in an environment that's forever changing, and, you know, her aspirations for moving forward. So thank you for listening. We're still talking, so...
Yeah, thank you. Can I also say that apart from being a mentor for a young musician, I actually do put on events for young people.
Mm-hmm.
So last year I put on an event which is called Youth Jam Festival.
Youth Young Festival.
Sorry, Youth Jam.
Oh, Youth Jam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where I had young... I mean, I had a help from a lady called Halima from Jokes Arts and Music, and I worked with Longfield Hall, which mm-hmm. is based...
Oh, yeah.
Very, very close to Mightsville Park.
Mm-hmm.
And that experience taught me that having young people who may have never have performed on stage before, giving them the guidance of having mentoring from elders, as you mentioned, intergenerational.
Mm.
So I had elders come in who were rappers to speak to these performers, and the young people would perform in front of them, and then the elders would critique them and give them advice about being in the industry of music.
Yeah.
And what was beautiful was the young people appreciated them taking time out. Some of these rappers were not no little rappers. They were like, I don't know if you've heard, some viewers may have heard of Black Twang. So Black Twang, Tony Rotten. I'm expecting you, Bev, to say, oh, yeah.
No, Black Twang.
Okay, so Black Twang was from Mightsville Park. But anyway, so we had Son of Noise. We had... K9, we had some amazing artists come in, and I think the young people appreciate the fact that these are well-known rappers who've travelled the world coming in to critique them and spend time with them.
That's invaluable.
You know, and that is what Angel Town children need. They need to see people who look... All the rappers who came to see them were black,
mm-hmm.
and these young black boys on Angel Town and young black girls need to see people who look like them, who've gone through things and have achieved a lot. And that could be myself, that could be Kamika, that could be Jillian, that could be Lorraine, because we've all gone through a lot of things in our lifetime and come out of it in a positive way and productive way. And we're all very strong women, you know. And a lot can be taken from that, but we can only do that if we have a community space to do it within. And that's the problem on Angel Town. We're so fragmented because we've got RSL here. We've got 5 RSLs. We've got Lambeth. We've got RMO. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
We've got Fairfax House, this house, that house. And there's no community space for us ever to say, yo, I'm an event manager. If you want to organise an event, come speak to me. I will help you.
Mm.
I'll tell you about licences. I will tell you about the council. I know this person. I know Shaft and Lambeth Maid. I know... And that's how you get to build community, when you have a space, even if it's a laundrette where everyone will come to and sit down.
But that's the thing is, there's a lot of skills and experience in that community that's untapped. And if you guys don't get an opportunity to speak and share, just get to know each other, then that's stuff that's just lost.
But do you know what? I think it's actually done... I'm going to get quite deep in it here. I think it's done purposefully.
Well, I was going to say that, but divide and rule.
It's purposely, because if you think about it, if our young men on our estate are rappers and they're doing really, really well, they've got so many followers, everyone... The other day we had that event, and look how much people turned out. If Angel Town was that bad, why would all those young people come to Angel Town? Because they know that there's talent there, and they know that there's gifted people there. That's why they came, and they came to see all those musicians. Now, I work in event management. Now, I could possibly work with those young rappers and help them, you know, and guide and steer and nurture them.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do it if I don't know how to reach out to them.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly not going to be walking past 25 bagger men when they're there grouped up to have a conversation with them. I'm not going to do that. Because I have to think about my safety as well. Do you know what I mean? I've got to be street smart.
You've got to be street smart. And at the end of the day, who is you? Do they know you?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And half of them, the thing is, half of them do know me, but they know me from when they were like 5 and 6. Now they're like 25, 22, and they're big people now.
Mm.
And it's a different thing. And I think what it is, a lot of these young people also, they may be involved in certain isms and schisms and don't want the elders to be part of anything to do with that. It also, so they're also protecting us, possibly. I'm not even saying that is what it is, but I'm just trying to.
I mean, we don't know. At the end of the day, you know, what I call teenagers, 19 and 17 year olds, and sometimes when they speak, I have to ask them, excuse me, what does that word mean? Yeah. What does that phrase mean? So it's there is a language barrier because I'm not that age. You understand what I mean? Yeah. And as much as...
I mean, we had something called Bubba language when we was little.
Ah.
I wanted something from mum or dad. And we didn't want them to know. Mm. We used to speak a little language between me and my sisters.
And yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, that generation, there is a divide, and so in a way, so there should be, because they're young people and we're elders. So if they're
elders.
Well, no, I'm just saying that if I see a bag of man on my estate, I'm not going to go over and approach and say, "Yo, hi, I'd love to help you with your events. You know, I'd love." They'll be thinking, "What is she doing? Why is she talking to us?" Mm. And they're probably going to put up a mask and say, even if I did used to play at your house with your daughter when I was 5, that was then. Why are you... Do you know what I mean? And if you had a community centre where it was open for people to have coffee and sit down and chat to your neighbour, it would be more relaxed. Because the other day there was an event on the estate. It was an Eid festival. It was amazing. And what's nice about it is that not only the Muslims were there, all different religions were there together, and I was happy enough to go over to a little space where there was the elders, and we just sat down, had a lovely conversation for an hour. But these are my neighbors I haven't seen in years, and we live in the same estate.
So what do you want to see that's different? Because I'm mindful I will always come back. I've got a pack of people waiting for me to interview them, and there's people who want to come back again. So
okay.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about how long the listeners can listen for. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. I'm sorry, listeners, if I'm going on. No, but thank you, Beverly, also for this opportunity.
No, you're passionate. What do you want to do? What do you want to see happen or change? Because at the moment you've got things stopped.
I mean, what I would like to see done now is that we definitely need a unit so that we can, as a people, the focus group can actually meet and physically meet with each other. Because all this WhatsApp group, I'm not being rude, sometimes things can get misconstrued on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And what can happen is the conversation, I might be saying something very important about, oh, there's a meeting happening with Helen Hayes, if you'd like to come, next person doesn't read it, and then they write something about something else completely different.
Yeah.
So what happens is, I have started a focus group, and there's a few people in it already. I want residents on Angel Town and organisations who work in Angel Town for Angel Town to give help towards us getting a unit, so that we can actually have a space where we can allow the residents to come into a space. I understand it's COVID, so it can't be too many people.
Mm-hmm.
But have an exhibition of what Lambeth are planning for Angel Town.
Mm.
And before the next consultation process is carried out, we have to make sure that all the residents know the situation, because right now they don't know.
So when...
And knowledge is power. If you know, then
you can do something.
If you know, you can do something, because... At least when the Lambeth newsletter comes to your door, rather than thinking it's just junk mail from Lambeth talking about paying your rent or make sure you don't leave mess outside, read it, because it might actually say there's a consultation taking place. And my aim is, I said to Helen the other day, it's okay doing it on Zoom, but you need to do one, this is for public, maybe in St. John's Church, which is big enough to house everybody, where people who haven't got Wi-Fi or who speak a different language can actually come somewhere and have interpreters, at least 3 of the most common speaking language on the estate. So those people can be represented. and they can feel part of the conversation rather than, because we have so many Pakistani community and Portuguese. We've got Irmo, who's on the estate. They are, I'm not sure, I never know how to say what the actual language is. I think it's Latin.
It's it could be Portuguese or Spanish. Yeah,
Portuguese or Spanish. Yeah. So if we've got them there, we just need one, a unit space, a meeting space for the focus group. Can do the work, because I'm finding it difficult to do it on WhatsApp. I'm finding it difficult to do it on Zoom, because Zoom is not always easy for everybody to get to. So, having a physical space. Also, I've got architects who are helping us at risk, who are not getting paid. They're going to be designing sketches of what the community centre could look like. They're going to be doing write-ups and proposals and plans. So I want the people on Angel Town to feel they can come in and have their say before Lambeth.
Sorry, have you got a date for when this presentation is going to be happening?
There's no presentation going to be happening. What it is, they're going to do another meeting on Zoom. This is Lambeth. They're holding special meetings monthly with a lady called Jackie Dyer, mm-hmm. who's an MP.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one was for organisations only. The second one's going to be opened up to residents. My fear is, residents don't read Lambeth's half the time, Lambeth's stuff.
So you mean the leaflet that they push through the door or the booklet?
They don't read it. Right about now, people are concerned about their mental health and well-being, and the least that they can read coming through their door, some of them don't even open their letters. So, and I used to be that person. So we need a unit where people can come to us and find out what's happening.
So, I understand that, but if... So what I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, all right, St. John's Church, if you're listening to St. John's Church, would you be open to allow your space to be used in order?
He said yes already. He did say yes.
And he said yes. So we've got
he said yes to a public meeting.
For a public meeting.
In terms of, so what happens normally, when for Ellsbury Estate, for instance, in the shopping centre, I went up to this exhibition space where they were actually showing you what Ellsbury was going to look like once it was finished.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically want to do exactly the same thing regarding it being the community centre. Do you get me? So
no, I understand.
And also things like this podcast, if they want to, if they've got time and they want to have a cup of tea and put on some earphones and listen to me and you chatting for an hour about it, then they can. So it's like having an archival space where we can put up the boiler house information. We can put up what Lambeth are planning to do, because I know what's going to happen. Lambeth are going to say, well, we've listened to you and the residents, Michelle, but unfortunately we've done another consultation and no one turned up. You know, nobody, you know, but the consensus is that people don't mind having a garden.
So can I just stop you there for a moment?
Of course.
I'm trying to pretend that I'm actually listening to this podcast. Number one, I don't know when you're going to have this consultation or this meeting, right?
It's in August, the 25th. Right. That's when they're going to have this meeting.
All right.
So 25th of August is when the actual Lambeth are going to be doing a special meeting that residents can go to.
But that's going to be on Zoom.
That's going to be on something called Teams.
Oh yeah, that's still online. Okay.
Yeah, that's online.
So
25th of August, and actually the time hasn't been given yet. It's only a date, which is the 25th of August.
Okay, so we've got a date.
Yeah.
So then my question is, you know, do you need people who may want to help to go around on the estate to alert them to there's going to be this meeting? This meeting is about community space.
That would be amazing.
We need some people to be represented at this August 25th thing.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
If you can't be at it, if you're not able to attend that, what's the key thing that you want, message you want? Do you want a community centre or do you want another garden space? You know, if this is your opportunity. And for that, then those people who are volunteering to do this would collate all that information and then give that to who? Do you understand? This is how I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, that information, it will be collated, and then we can then have that and give it to the MP, Helen Hayes, and to Lambeth. Because at the moment, Lambeth's gone back. After the meeting that we had with them, it was myself, Lorraine Jones, Kanika, and other people in Lambeth. Basically, they're going to go back, do a report, and then give us their findings and actions and all that.
So what you need some people on the ground who are willing to come... Yeah, you need some foot soldiers who are willing to work with you and find out and talk to people in the community so that you get a breadth of more of voices, and also that you can have people who have got access to the internet can be invited to this meeting, right?
So I can give you an email. And also, I can provide you with an email address, because Angel Town now has an email address for this actual specific community centre campaign. I can give that to you.
Yeah, give us, say it. Say the email.
It's Angel, A-N-G-E-L-L, Town, T-O-W-N, group, @yahoo.com.
So that's Angel, A-N-G-E-L-L, Town, T-O-W-N, group, G-R-O-U-P, that's all one word, @yahoo.com. So anybody who wants to be a foot soldier to help Michelle and others within their community to, you know, to be able to talk to people in the community to find out their views before the 25th of August, please send your emails to her. I'll put the email address in the little blurb that goes with the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Also, if you're an interpreter, if you speak either Portuguese, what's the other language that you're aware of?
I think it'll be Urdu. I'm not too sure.
Well, they can get in contact with you if they want to do, if you can interpret Urdu, Somali, Eritrean, Portuguese, Spanish, and if you just got plain English, if you can also volunteer your time to be able to do a listening campaign in Angel Town for these different blocks that have been divided up, okay? Mm. But with what Michelle seems to be wanting to do is bring that community together. So if you are interested in joining into that, please email them at Angel Town Group. That's all one word, A-N-G-E-L-L, Town, T-O-W-N, Group, @yahoo.com. What else do we think we need?
Well, I mean, I was going to say that, you know, after what happened the other day with the little party that went a bit wrong at the end, we do still need to have community initiatives going on for summer, because it's like the only way we're going to get to really speak to people and get to know our neighbours is by things like the Eid Festival, which happened the other day, which was a beautiful event. Things like, even the other day, like 3 weeks ago when they had that party, when I watched from my window when it first started, the joy on the young people's faces and how they were enjoying themselves and being kids, it was lovely to see, you know. And it feels as if, since that incident now, we're not going to really have much, but I do know there is going to be an event, actually, I should tell you. I'm going to be DJing at it. Yes,
woman of many talents.
Oh yes. So on the 14th of August, the RMO have organised a summer get together, and Brixton Chamber Orchestra will be playing music from 3 o'clock till 4 at Lay's Court, which is on Angel Town. And I'm going to be there from 1:30 till 3 o'clock playing music. Reggae, soul. I'm also going to be playing a lot of the music from the artists who live on Angel Town as well.
Oh, that'll be lovely.
Because what I want to do, I want to represent our young people so that they are represented by the elders, because I may not like all of their music, but they have a right to have their say and be themselves, you know, freedom of speech. So I want to represent the young people. The artists on Angel Town. There are some amazing artists on Angel Town.
Okay.
So the 14th of August at 1:30 to 4 o'clock, there'll be music, there'll be refreshments. It's going to be in a space which normally isn't used as a community event space. And I think the reason why I'm mentioning it, because I just believe that a lot of people do not read them bloody, sorry, those EMB newsletters, right? Because they're normally doom and gloom. But this is a good time for us to come together. I'll be there. I'll be talking to the residents about what's going on as well when I can.
Mm.
And also Brixton Chamber Orchestra, what it is, they are an 18-piece orchestra. They don't just play classical. They play grime. They play soul. They play reggae. And you're going to get that for free, you know?
That's really great. I think you need to give me some blurbs so that I can, when I'm doing my other podcasts throughout the week leading up to this, I can just put this in there as well.
Yeah.
So that we can keep the momentum going. You know, definitely. Michelle,
I mean, I just feel to myself, Bev, I just want to say thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak about what's going on. Thank you so much.
No, you're more than welcome. It's your space. And I think it's great that that you are working so hard within the community that you live in and that you've reared your children in to make a brighter community for other children and for other residents and other people. You know what I mean? And, you know, if anything about parenting, it's not just about in isolation. It's about the fact that we need to work together with other people, and not everybody we're going to like. Yeah, but we've got to look at strategic. The longer picture is, you know, can I do something that's going to build something for my future and my children's future in this space, you know? And post-COVID, and it's not even post-COVID, we're still in COVID-19. You know, I think we're thinking a lot more about community. So I want to say thank you for giving us your time. I'm going to... finish now and just thank everybody who stayed with us for the 50 minutes that we've been yabbering away, and just say thank you. You know, take care, you know, remain blessed, and enjoy the rest of your day, until I'm here again speaking with another mother who's you know, it doesn't matter, you'll find out. I've got plenty of mothers lined up who want to speak. So until then, I just want to say thank you, everybody, and take care. And I am out.